That is the greatest response I've ever heard.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 248 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring my unwell self, Sean Smith, and my currently quite well, Morgan Richards.
Yeah, it's me, Morgan Richards. Baby, your certified wrestling mark. And normally, I'd stay in kayfabe for an episode like this. But instead of making a joke about Destination Unknown, let's just go to Wembley! Wembley! All Elite Wrestling are coming to Wembley. Hey!
Ignore all that. I'm sorry about that. Ruby, if you're listening, apologies. Anyone from AEW, I'm very, very sorry Morgan did all that bit. He will be punished severely. This week's guest is a fantastic wrestler, a punk rock enthusiast, and an all-round legend, the mighty, mighty Ruby Soho.
Ow! Or as I liked to say her name, Ruby Soho. I don't know why, I'm just in a really big singy mood. Today, punk rock's favorite wrestler, natural born rebel, music fanatic, Ruby Soho is a perfect package of chaos on AEW TV. Look, you all know how nerdy we are about wrestling and connect it onto it here as much as we can. But this weekend is a history making event. All Elite Wrestling make their UK debut at Wembley fucking Stadium on Sunday, August the 27th. All In is being dubbed as the biggest event in wrestling history. There's over 80,000 tickets sold at the time of recording. They're breaking records. There's big pay-per-view sales. It's absolutely insane. So to celebrate all this wrestling excitement, we were very lucky to sit down with Ruby to not only explain the magnitude of everything going on, but her music influences being basically knighted by Rancid and how all these worlds intertwine. If this podcast was a wrestler, I think it would be Ruby Soho.
While we're talking about wrestlers, bit of a sad turn. Very sorry to hear about Terry Funk passing away. But back onto the happiness. This was a great chat with the mighty Ruby. It was great to talk everything we did from the gathering of the Juggalos. That was mental. What? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know many people who've ever been on that, and I want to go on that. Becoming part of Punk Hierarchy, Glenn Danzig, that's a good one, and her hatred for tomatoes. I know that's piqued a lot of people's interests. So listen on for that.
You only get the real scoops on this podcast, but her Outcast teammates Saraya and Tony Storm will be batting it out in a four-way match with Britt Baker, DMD, and Hikaru Shida for the AEW Women's World Championship at Wembley. Ruby's going to be there ringside, helping her girls out, and throughout this conversation, letting us into some secrets of how Rancid suggested she take her last name to using this song. punk legends who have absolutely freaked out meeting her, and we even recommend a move that we think would make the Wembley crowd go absolutely insane. And we have no right doing that, but we did because we got this opportunity.
Yeah, how often do you get to pitch a finishing move to a actual wrestler? Very rare. It's very rare. Because if I could have done that early on, I would have gone, Hulk, don't do that big leg drop, but you're going to fuck you a spine. Right there. But yeah, this was a great chat. Get in touch with us at Sapling Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and sometimes, wait, it's pointless getting onto us at TikTok, but it's there. Suggest guests, let us know your thoughts on this podcast, and yeah, everything else moving forward.
And if you'd like to support us in any way, please go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/Sapling. It's the best way to keep this thing going each and every week if you fancy a laugh. And there's loads of people in there that you can make friends with and go to wrestling events, go to gigs, go to festivals. It's all wonderful, wonderful stuff. That's patreon.com/Sapling. But without any further ado, let's go straight into this killer conversation with the punk wrestling icon that is Ruby Soho of All Elite Wrestling on episode 248.
Yes, Sadie. Sapnin!
And Sapnin!
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sapnin!
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 Yes!
I butchered that. Sapnin!
No, it was lovely. You almost had a British twang on it. It was lovely. It was lovely.
I've been hanging out with Rhea a lot, so that would make sense.
This week's guest, superstar wrestler, punk rock enthusiast, and genuinely one of my favorite badass is in wrestling at the moment, the mighty Ruby Soho. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Yes, good. Very good. Very good. Very excited for this week.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it is very exciting.
What's the kind of just excitement like in the locker room in an AEW at the moment? Because there's so much going on.
Yeah, it is a lot of anticipation, a lot of everybody's trying to get their ducks in a row, and a lot of, you know, excitement, a lot of people that, you know, have never experienced anything on this kind of scale before, that are going to be able to be in front of 70,000 plus people. I think everybody, you know, can feel that this is a really big deal this is a turning point in our company. To have a show on this scale. So I think everybody's ready for it and everybody's ready to show up and show out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine. Well, how are you preparing for everything? I mean, you've got a lot of interest in one of the matches, rolling in particular.
Obviously.
But no, how is your, like, kind of just day to day going at the moment? I'm sure it's just kind of like so much traveling. in between Dynamite, Collision, Rampage, these pay-per-views. I mean, yeah, what's life like at the moment?
That's what's been, you know, it's chaos for sure, you know, but I don't think that's much different than any other week-to-week basis. It's always chaos. So yeah, it's been a lot of getting ready, making sure that I have everything. I started packing like a week ago because I wanted to make sure I had everything that I was going to need. And yeah, it's been, I have a farm here at home. So it's just been a lot of making sure that all of my ducks are in a row, or horses are in a row, I guess. I wish I had ducks. But it's a lot of just mental preparation, and I'm just really been trying to make sure that, you know, whatever Tony and Rhea need, in any capacity, you know, just kind of trying to be the best hype woman, any group could have. I'm really excited. I'm excited to go over there. I'm excited, hopefully, to have Rhea's mom fix us a solid English breakfast.
Old English.
The old England breakfast. And I'm excited about that. I can't wait. It's just going to be able to feel this and to be a part of the first one ever is huge. So it's very exciting.
It's history making. Is there anything else in Britain you're looking forward to checking out while you're here, or seeing or going to?
Not that I can think, because I've been to the UK quite a few times. So I've seen, you know, Big Ben. I did the visiting part. I think I'm just going to be doing what I do best, and that's going to be just following Rhea wherever the hell she goes. So she's going to hit it. Let us know. Tony did say something to me, and I can't remember the area in England that she was talking about, but she did say it was very punk rock. But I can't remember exactly where the area was. She said, oh, you're going to find all these shops and all this. We're going to go shopping and you're going to find all these clothes that you love and like all this stuff. It's like hipster food and all this stuff. And I have no idea where she said, but I'll probably go there.
It's got to be Camden Market.
Camden Market.
I think that's what it was.
Give yourself plenty of time to check that out, because I feel like you're going to fall in love with so many things there.
I have told her I'm going to save some space in my suitcase so that I can take whatever home that I decide to buy.
Well, in between all this excitement for, you know, like breaking records with ticket sales and some of these awesome matches, you'd mentioned it there, but there has been a lot of talk about Saraya's mum making you and Tony a meal while you're over. Like, is that one of the main things you've been excited about for this whole thing? I mean, is this a regular thing whenever you come over? Like, I want to know everything. What's the menu?
I'm not sure what the menu is, but honestly, both Tony and myself have known Rhea's mom for years. We wrestled her way back in the day, in Shimmer days and everything. And we absolutely adore her. So I think it's a lot of that, but it's also a lot of being able to spend time with Rhea's family and be able to catch up, because it's been so long since both of us have seen her. So it is a focal point. Being able to spend some time with Rhea's family has been a big focal point of the trip, but then eventually we got to, you know, get down to business and beat some broads up, but you know.
That's true. But it's a nice little thought in between, especially about traveling. Well, speaking of Saraya and food, hell of a segue this, but
what?
You know, she likes to speak her mind, and that's one of the things we've always loved about her. But she's kind of had some weird backlash lately, because she was telling people that she likes to eat her pizza with mayonnaise and dipping it in there. I mean, for me, that's a regular thing, because maybe it's a British thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to that? And are you surprised about this, or are you offended that she's done this? I mean,
I know it's weird. There are a lot of people who are genuinely offended by the fact that Rhea likes mayonnaise on her pizza. So recently she bought pizza for the locker room so that everyone could try this. When I first heard about this, so I'm from the Midwest. We put ranch dressing on everything over here. So ranch and mayonnaise are my two favorite condiments, if I'm being honest. So when she told me that, I dipped my pizza in ranch. But so when she told me that, the mayonnaise thing, I was like, oh, hell yeah, I think I'd like that. And so everybody else is like dipping it like very dainty. I just take that squeeze bottle and just douse it. I'm like, nice. This is great. I love mayonnaise, man. And so I'm all for it because I think it's delicious. But there were a lot of people that were not big fans of it. It was very gross to them.
Yeah, wow. Who in the locker room, if anyone, refused mayonnaise on pizza?
I don't think anybody refused. I think everybody, because it was close to her birthday. So everybody was like, for her birthday, I'll try this disgusting combination. I don't think Anna Jay was a big fan of, but she, wow. I don't think she likes mayonnaise at all. But I don't, yeah, there was a couple people who were not big fans of it, but it was fun regardless.
How can you not like mayonnaise? I don't care.
I don't know. See, I don't know. I love mayonnaise. I love mayonnaise on everything. I think it's a texture thing.
I'm just thinking of, I just lost. Did you like ketchup?
Yeah, I don't understand it either. I don't like ketchup. I don't like ketchup. Yeah, I'm not a big ketchup person. I just don't like tomatoes in general.
Okay. Nice. Well. Yeah. Wow, we are learning it. We are learning today.
That's what this podcast is all about. We're getting the real answers.
Just writing down hates tomatoes. Nice.
That's
going to be the headlines everywhere now. But no, Ruby, there's so much we want to talk to throughout this conversation, especially music and wrestling. And we'll get into all of that. But you said there about this farm life of recent years. And I think that's been so interesting to hear about, because as a wrestler, it's kind of the same as a musician. You're always on the road. You're always kind of living life, traveling in hotels, and just kind of having like a real chaotic experience in no sense of home. But when you do get that time to go back now, how different has it been with the farm and being able to put life into that a bit and build something on top of it, not just somewhere to crash for a couple of days until the next time you're back on a plane?
Yeah, it's perfect. Like, I didn't realize how much I needed it until I bought this place. It is the perfect, I always consider it the perfect yin and yang. Like, I've been able to appreciate one because of the other. Like, I've been able to appreciate, my job and work and the chaos, because I am like, okay, well, maybe I need a little bit more socialization other than a couple horses and a donkey, and to be able to be moving and going. And then when I come home from work, I can just, like, I live in the middle of nowhere, like a mile into the woods. Like, there's no street lights, there's no cars, there's no nothing. And I've been able to appreciate so much my job because I have this to come home to, and vice versa. And I've found a new sense of fulfillment with my animals, especially with the horses. Is building a relationship with horses is actually a very long and tedious process to be able to gain their respect, because they're very, like, they make you earn it for sure. And like, once you do, it's just so fulfilling. It's so wonderful once you see this relationship with them, once you see that your animals are healthy and happy and learning so much. It's just been a whole nother world that I can dive into that I wasn't aware of before, and that I'm so happy that I am.
You said you're out in the woods a bit. No light pollution and stuff. Have you seen any UFOs?
I haven't. Not yet. But I have seen stars for the first time. I realized that I hadn't seen stars.
Oh.
Like I've seen like little bitty, like whatever, but like in the middle of nowhere, stars, like no lights, no nothing, like a whole sky full of them. So one day, hopefully, UFO. I do live next to a lot of cornfields, so that would make sense.
Mm. Oh, well, any day now, yeah. Any day now, I can't wait.
Any day. Beam me up.
Especially if you see Tom DeLonge hanging about anywhere, then...
Yeah. Then, I know it's game over then.
Get out of the cornfields, Tom!
But what other animals do you, at the moment, is it just the horses, or is there quite a few creatures you happen to look after in your downtime?
Yeah, creatures is a good word for it. Yeah, it's a real circus over here. I have two full grown quarter horses that are both seniors. I have a mini horse. Her name is Jelly Bean. I have a mini donkey named Daisy, and then I have I have a corgi, and I have a naked cat. Currently, that's the roster, and two like barn cats. So like that's the roster as of right now, but it's only going to get worse.
I love the wrestling terminology. That's the roster. The roster of animals. That's amazing.
The roster for right now.
That's the lineup for this week. I didn't even know you could get mini donkeys. That's amazing. Yeah. I do have mini horses because of Robin Big, but yeah, I'd never seen.
Because of Robin Big.
I need to get a mini. I'm writing down, get a mini donkey.
Get a mini donkey, dude. They're so much fun. They're really loud. They're really loud.
Like me.
They're
the best. Yes.
Yeah, it works. It works.
Nice.
Oh, there we are. It all works. It all works together. But now, Ruby, throughout your career, I mean, it's been no secret that you are a huge music fan, whether it's mm-hmm. Punk rock, emo, metal, anything alternative, pretty much. And I think wrestling and that side of music is like the perfect marriage in a lot of ways, because there's so many influences between each other. That connection works and it does resonate with a lot of people. What in particular do you feel combines the two? Like, why do you think they just go hand in hand?
So I love this question because it, especially particularly like with punk music, metal music, anything like that. One thing that I love about it is because, like you said, it is a melting pot of so many different genres, so many different people, so many different styles. And I think with pro wrestling, it's the same in the sense that like, so there's 100 different genres of wrestling. There's, you know, Lucha Libre, strong style, you know, death matches, stuff like that. Like there's something out there for everyone, but you don't have to particularly like that style. So there is literally like, you can still like punk rock, but you can still like ska, but your preference is ska, but you can still like pro wrestling, but your preference is Lucha Libre. Like you can still like it as a whole, but then you can experiment with all these different subgenres. And I think that alone is so exciting because there's so many different ways that we can pull people into our community, both music and wrestling, because there's so much out there for everyone. And it's so inclusive. And that's what I love about both of them.
What came first to you? Was it music or wrestling?
It came at around, I want to say around the same time, but I want to say wrestling was very shortly before my best friend that helped get me into wrestling. He helped me find a trainer. He actually introduced me particularly to punk music in general, because I was from a small town. Like I was pretty sheltered. And one thing that I loved about the genre was the lack of pressure to be something in particular, like to be able to freely say, you know, this is who I am, and you know, and I'm accepted for that by these people in this community. And I think that helped me while I was trying to find who I was in pro wrestling. So they both kind of came together to kind of create like the freedom to do that came from music, and then the ability to do that, you know, in wrestling was huge for me to be able to kind of pull from that. I do, however, I'm not going to lie to you. I get nervous. I've had this conversation with several wrestlers before who are also, you know, punk fanatics. I get nervous of the hierarchy of punk rock, where it's like, if you don't know this band, you're not a punk. If you don't know, if you don't listen to this, I'm like, that feels like the opposite of the message that this whole thing stands for. In general, I'd just be like, oh, you don't know this? You gotta listen to this. This is great. So I get so nervous. I had spoken to someone before. It was like, I'm not a punk. I'm a pro wrestler that loves punk rock. Because if you call yourself a punk, sometimes I get nervous when people ask me like, what's your favorite band? What are you listening to right now? And I'm like, I immediately forget everything. And I'm like, oh God, oh, I don't want to be judged. I'm so scared, you know?
No, it's so easy to do in it because it's always that frightment of you not saying the right thing. Because I'm sure you're the same. We listen to so much music. You're into loads of different bands, but what you might consider your favorites might not reflect what you actually listen to 24/7 as well. It's like a weird thing.
Yeah, but also you can't you shouldn't get worried about punk hierarchy when you've had Rancid actually play you out. It's like, anybody can say anything to you and you're like, yeah, hey, don't talk to me about punk. I have I'm literally friends with the kings of it. So I'll decide what the punk hierarchy.
That is the greatest response I've ever heard. That's part. Yes, I. You know what? You're right. You're right. I'm the color. You know. You're right. You're right.
Nobody can talk shit on you and say, yeah. "Well, I don't think she's a real punk or any of this shit." It's like, I'm friends. How more punk can I be? I'm friends with Rancid. Jesus Christ.
Oh man, that's so funny. I've been stamped by the seal of approval by the great. I did tell Lars, I was like, thank you for allowing me to ride your coattails of coolness. I appreciate it so much.
But he knows, he genuinely knows it's a two-way street. A lot of people in bands, like myself included, I loved wrestling. Well, I love wrestling now, but I loved it so much growing up. And it was such an outlet. And like, I remember thinking as a kid, I was like, prior to Bret the Hitman Hart, any boy I knew who wore pink was in trouble, right? Basically, mm-hmm. back then.
Yeah.
That, yeah. He changed my complete opinion on what colours I could wear.
Yeah.
To the point where when I became a front man, you almost take on, like, I know people say, like, your wrestling persona is you dialed up. And that's exactly how it is with front people. Most front people love wrestlers and are as nervous, like me, myself. I'm more nervous to meet wrestlers than I am Metallica. I couldn't care. Couldn't give a shit.
It's the same, but switched now for me. It's, I'm so excited. Like, I'm excited to meet new wrestlers and everything, but oh my God, I met Joan Jett and literally left the room and collapsed to the ground, legitimately just hit the floor. I guarantee you, I was probably the most awkward human. I'm like, I have her tattooed on my arm, her face. I covered it up because I was nervous. I freak out when I meet musicians.
Yeah. I've just gone cold for you, seeing the happiness in you talking about Joan Jett. It's like we've done Download Festival backstage a bunch of times and stuff.
I love Download. I got my head split open at Download.
Yeah.
That's true. And yeah, we were more nervous backstage about talking to wrestlers than we were
some of the biggest bands. Like
Lars Ulrich could have turned up and I would have been like, oh. Sit down and talk to Adam Cole. Wait. In fact, practice the drums while you're there, please. Calm down, Lars.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's mad how the two worlds kind of are running parallels to each other. And
it's wild.
The others love and want to be the others and get nervous about the other. It's mad. Yep. It's nuts.
I love it.
It must be cool for you on the other side of it as well to see how many bands freak out about wrestlers.
Oh my God. Okay. So I have a story for you guys. Way back when I was with my former crew, one of the ladies came in from catering and came up to myself and my best friend, Sarah Rowe. And they walked up to us and they go, hey, Sarah, Ruby, Glenn Danzig wants to meet you. And we literally looked at each other. We're like, yeah, okay.
Tell him no!
We thought for sure someone was ribbing us. Like, there's no way. And we were like walking down the hallway. We're like, oh God, what's going to happen? And then we walk in to catering and Glenn stops who he's talking to, stops what he's doing, looks over at us and goes, Riot Squad. He's like, you guys are so cool, man. He's like, I love y'all. And like hugs us. And we're like, oh God. And he was like, you guys are a bunch of scumbags, man. I was like, yeah, we are. Like freaking out. It was the coolest thing. Like he was the nicest man. And he was so excited to meet us. He was like, it's so cool to see, you know, women bringing punk into wrestling. Like, this is awesome. And I can't even speak. I don't even have words to come out of my mouth. And like me and Sarah like freaked out after the fact. I was like, no way did that just happen. No way. And then later on, I went, like, I thought it was just like a one-time thing. Went to one of their reunion concerts in Chicago. They brought us backstage. Jerry Only sang to me.
What?
Yeah. Doyle hates wrestling. And I was like, yeah. I looked at him. He was a terrifying man. I was like, yeah, man, what? Me too. Yeah. Doyle's not a fan. But it was wild. Wow. It was just like, it's so many times of those pinch me moments where I was like, there's no way this is my life. It's just bizarre.
I don't think anyone's had that much access to the Misfits in years. So yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It was wild.
The thing is, Doyle is the perfect body shape to be a wrestler.
How
can you hate wrestling? And look, he likes punk rock and face paint and being the center of attention and bodybuilding. But he hates, I don't what?
But he's one of the most intimidating people I've ever seen in my life. And immediately I just agreed with him. I was like, yeah, me too. I hate it. It's the worst. It's because somebody introduced me as a wrestler. He's like, yeah, man, I hate wrestling. Me too. Like he's scared. He's so tall and he's so jacked. He's so cool. And I was like, I don't know what to do.
Oh, wow. I love that.
I hate my job as well. Actually, I think I'm going to quit now you mentioned it, Doyle.
It's the worst. You want me to quit? Like right now?
Sorry, Doyle. I didn't fancy having an income for the rest of my life. Never mind, Doyle. You fucking maniac.
No, I love these moments and I love the fact that these worlds intertwine so much. And mentioning Rancid and Lars there, I would like to dive into that whole thing a little bit if we could, because that part came at such a weird, it must have been at such a weird time for you when you weren't with a company and you didn't know what was going to happen next. And then all of a sudden you're talking to Lars and he's recommending you take Soho as the last name. He's recommending you take the song and then it escalates to, the AEW debut, people going mad and all that. And then them playing you out. I mean, how did all that start? And I'm sure there's a part of you that is just can't believe that that is a thing now.
Still to this day, it still don't make no sense to me at all. So I had spoken to Lars, I want to say like maybe two years prior, to me getting released. I asked him if I could do, because all the wrestlers were doing like tribute stuff in their pay-per-view gear to comic books or movies or stuff like that. And I wanted to do like punks. And so I wanted to do tribute gear for him because he's been, one of my idols forever. And I had reached out to him on Instagram because I realized he was following me and I was like, oh, that's cool. Like I knew he liked wrestling, but I didn't know to what extent. And so I was like, I'm going to reach out to him, ask him if it's okay. Cause I wanted to, get his permission. He was so nice about it. He's like, hell yeah. Like, let me know if you need anything. You want me to send you some stuff? Like whatever you need. Couple days later, I had a Rancid fun pack, like of a bunch of like vinyls, t-shirts, patches, all kinds of stuff that he just sent to my house. And so, I sent him because I know his kid and stuff like love wrestling too. So I sent him a bunch of action figures and t-shirts, anything I could get my hands on. So, and then fast forward, I get released and I didn't really want to release anything. I wanted to keep where I was going, what I was going to be doing, a mystery. And Lars asked me to do his podcast. And when Lars Fredrickson asked you to do his podcast, you could do the damn podcast. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be the only one that I do. Because I won't do anybody else. I just don't want anybody to have any information. Because at the time, I didn't even know what I was going to be doing. So I do the podcast and we had talked a little bit about how I wasn't sure what I wanted my name to be. I didn't want to go back to my old indie name. And, I was like, well, I'd like to keep Ruby because Ruby came from Ruby Soho. And I'm saying this to the man who is in the band that came. I'm like, yeah, it was like as fangirl as this sounds, this is where it came from. And when he used the words, well, why don't you just use that? And I didn't know that was an option. He was like, yeah, I know a couple guys, that could maybe get you the right kind of song. I was like, you did it now.
What?
And I'm like, I'm on camera hyperventilating.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, did you now? And at that point, like, it was awesome. And I loved the sound of it. But at that point, I'm like, maybe he was just being nice. Like, he might try. And then but he worked so hard to make sure, like with his own manager, like talks with Tony and everything like that, they worked so hard to like make that happen both on both sides. and they managed to, and it just, it like to be able to have the crowd before I came out at All Out a few years ago, know my name already before I had even debuted was amazing. And then have this legendary song to come out to. And then fast forward Double or Nothing. And it was Tony actually came up to me and was like, do you think that they would play? I was like, do I think that they would play me out? I hope to God they do. Like, if that's an option, like, let's go. And I reached out to Lars and he was so excited. He was so excited. And I think it was something for the band itself, because like they were amazing. They were so sweet. They getting played out when they rehearsed, I was watching that happen. Nobody else is looking, like not a lot of other people are looking at me. We're rehearsing, but I get up on the top rope and I look back at them and I just start bawling. Like 16-year-old me is like losing. Like, this is for me. Like, this is for me. And I tell all my fans, like, I peaked in coolness. I'll never get cooler than that moment. So y'all need to know it's all downhill from there. Because I'm not getting any cooler than that moment. And with them, they've been a band for so long, but I don't think they get a chance to do a lot of new things anymore. Because they've done everything, you know what I mean? So this was new for them. And so they had a blast and they were so nice. And then I came back from the match and I lost, obviously. And I came back to the room of the match and I went to go thank them in their dressing room. They're like, come on! Like, we came all the way out here and you lost! I'm so sorry! I'm so sorry! Yeah, so yeah, it's just that this whole journey with them has been nothing but a dream come true, because I can't imagine, like I said, 16-year-old me hearing about this and knowing that this is something that I get to live, you know, all the time, and how much I've pissed people off not coming out to it anymore. It's awesome. It's awesome. People are so mad. My first singles match, I didn't come out to it. They were pissed.
Yeah. That's how you get him. That's how you get him. Yeah. But no, I mean, full circle moments, that's up there. And that's completely beautiful. And it's so nice to hear how much they worked for it to happen as well. Because people, you know, might not realize it's like that whole work between the rights. Like, they might be up for it, but it might be down to the label and management. Yeah. And then, you know, the whole Tony and AEW got to agree on stuff. And for all that to work out is just so magical.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful in general for everybody's work. Just, and I, like I said, it makes me feel so special. I'm so humbled. It's just for little old me, just for me, just from some weird little kid from Indiana. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I was just thinking of the work behind the scenes to, you would have had to have gone to the label and stuff and be like, look, we got to get this clear. And the label doing what labels do would go, God, no. We want money. Give us lots of money. But for him to, for him to get it cleared, and that's awesome. Because there's a lot of people who go, you can use my song, and then, you know, it's up to you. And I guess Tony would have had to have battled and paid a fortune.
Yeah.
It's proper punk rock, isn't it? There's nothing more punk rock than genuinely going, I'll sort this out now. That's fucking...
Oh, amazing.
I'm so glad to hear they're good guys. I'm so glad to hear they're good guys. Is there any... do you remember the first time that you either wrestled or somebody who you looked up to as a wrestler came and give you some sort of praise or a confidence boost or anything? Do you remember the?
The first time I can remember a recent one, which was a few years ago. Sting came up to me. We want to talk about the epitome of coolness. Sting is the coolest man that has ever existed in the world. He is such a badass inside and out of the ring. And he's just the nicest man. And like, I hadn't had I'd seen him at work and, hello, sir, it's nice to see you and whatever. And he pulled me to the side after my match, I believe with Bunny, a few years ago, and was just like, I just want you to know, like the way you move in the ring is really impressive. And I was like, oh God. And I was like, thank you. And he was like, you move really athletically, which I'm not. if I can convince you I am, like, cool. And I was so honored by that statement, that I got real, as I do, I got real weird. And I was like, thank you so much. I was like, can I hug you now? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, okay. And so I gave him this big hug. Like, it was such a cool moment of somebody that I've seen for so many years that I literally, the words come out of my mouth every single time I see him on TV prior to this. And now every time I'm like, Sting, so cool. Look at him. He's so cool. I feel like if you're not even a wrestling fan, you could see that man is cool.
Oh, 100%. I know so many people, like goths and just like people in bands, who have taken inspiration from his old crow look from back in the day. So yeah. I mean, what a man.
He's a legend.
This is my thing. Like, surely that, like, Doyle, I'm going back to Doyle. He's the fucking Sting of the Misfits. What's he on about?
This is where the downfall of the interview happened, is when you found out Doyle hates wrestling. You're like, nope, can't do it.
I can't have it. Yeah, Doyle, I'm not having this. Doyle has got to come on his podcast and explain himself next week.
Fuck. That's it. He'd hate us. Wow, if he hates wrestling, he'd bloody hate us. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But
with all this love,
did you ever consider, have you ever tried like starting your own band?
Oh God, I've always wanted to, but I don't think I did a lot of like choir stuff and theater and stuff when I was in college and in high school. Like that was like the theatrical portion of wrestling is really what I was drawn to, because I, again, was not athletic enough to, you know, whatever.
Despite what Sting says, yeah.
Yes. Ever since then, I've been too... I'm scared to sing in front of people. I know that's really weird and really silly because of what I do for a living. I make an idiot out of myself on a regular basis. But I'm terrified to sing in front of people. But it has always been like a lifelong dream of mine. But I don't know if it'll ever happen. But, you know, at least to just perform one time. But I'm not sure.
It's definitely good. Like... it's going to happen. Like, at some point, Rancid are going to be like, there's a microphone there, and you're going to have to just take it.
I did get the chance to sing with Masked Intruder one time.
Ooh.
I sang Heart-Shaped Guitar on stage with them, and that was so sick, because they're so fun and entertaining. Like, they're so much fun to be around and to be able to... But I was so nervous. I am so nervous.
I think you'd be a fantastic front person. Like... just imagine the carnage of some sort of punk hardcore shows, stage diving. I want to see this. Make it happen.
I don't know if I can stage dive anymore. The last time I was stage dove, I was dropped directly on my skull. Ooh. Like, I got all the way to the end and everybody's like, whoop, and it just pile drove, right? And I'm like, oh God, okay. I don't know if I can do that anymore.
Yeah, it's the one bump you don't want.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Perhaps that's your front person gimmick, where you just wear a helmet on stage.
Yeah, there it is.
To save those things.
Here for it. Just doing like a tank girl remake or something.
Maybe.
Oh, nice. Very.
Oh, there we are. We've got some ideas now. But one thing I love about the AEW locker room is there's so much of that crossover and just fountains of knowledge between music and wrestling. I mean, you just got to look at people like yourself, Chris Jericho, Butcher, being in Every Time I Die for years.
Yeah. Oh, they're so much fun to watch. They were so much fun to watch.
Brody King. There's so many people in that locker room. Is there a group of you or any of you who constantly like talk about music or shows you're going to go to or like introducing new stuff to each other?
A little bit here and there. I think that we've all talked about it in different like scenarios and stuff, and then there's a lot of people that like punk that you know or whatever, that and music that you wouldn't even think about. Like John Silver's a huge punk fan, and so he and I have had conversations a few times about music and concerts and stuff that we've gone to. I have talked with Andy a few times about music, just because I like the actual musicians, like Brody and Andy and Chris. I like to pick their brain because it's such a fascinating thing, especially in correlation to wrestling. Like I've seen both Chris and Andy perform before, and it's so interesting to see the correlations between that and wrestling. And like, do you get my favorite question? Do you get nervous? Do you still get nervous? Like, because to me, it's terrifying. In my eyes, it's terrifying to think about doing that. But to, I guess, your average everyday person fighting somebody in colored spandex in front of, you know, 70,000 people is also terrifying.
Yeah.
So, it's very interesting to get, you know, their, since there's people that have dipped into both, to get their perspective and stuff. And sometimes I'll ask them about like bands and music that they're listening to or recommendations or anything. I just started listening to Brody's band recently. It's really, really good. And I was like, I'm gonna save this for workout music, but it's really, really good.
Yeah, very much so. Have you seen any footage of their shows? God's Hates shows?
No, not. I can only imagine how awesome it is.
There's a lot of people going head first to the ground, shall we say. It's immense.
Of course.
Kicking each other in the chops full force while being on stage. It's mental. Yeah.
My God. That's awesome. Knowing Brody, that's awesome. Because, yeah, he's probably super entertaining. And yeah.
Well, yeah, I just realized, yeah, with how many musicians there are in it, you could make an AEW band.
Yeah, we could. We could do it.
Funny enough, I was going to put you on the spot and ask you if, you know, hypothetically, if you had to start a band with members of the AEW roster, who are you picking?
Ooh, that's hard. If I had to start a band, I think I'm going... Oh, this is rough. I had to start a band, I would say, obviously, Andy, he shreds, obviously. When I went to the Every Time I Die show, like, legitimately one of the most entertaining and incredible shows that I've been to in a while. So just for music quality in general, that is for sure. Like, yeah. I'm going with that. And then I almost want to say Sting, but I also kind of almost want to say Tony Khan too. This is a really hodgepodge because I feel like Tony would be entertaining as all hell.
What instrument would you have Tony Khan on?
Dex.
The Dex.
DJ
massive,
Tony Khan. DJ Tony Khan, bring it on.
He's just got so much energy and it's so contagious that I think whatever he did, it would translate to an audience. Star power, obviously, Chris. And then maybe Darby. Darby's a cool guy. Yeah, he's cool. He's a cool guy. He and I have talked a little bit about concerts and stuff too, because he's definitely like all of us, he's a punk kid, you know.
I feel like Darby would be scary though, in the same way, like, because his name is Alan, he's gone for the surname Allen. Like, if he goes full Gigi Allen and starts playing shows naked, leave it alone, Darby. Put it back.
None of us want that.
No offense to him,
but I'm all set. I'm all set. I'm trying to think of females that I would want in the band, and I think probably my girls, because they're just wild. They're just wild. Y'all, everything that you guys see on, where it's 10 times worse back. We're actual degenerates. Like, it's the best. So yeah, probably my girls. I'd have to.
You can't spend all that time with Ronnie Radke and not have it run off in
some way. Exactly.
But I wanted to dive into the Outcasts a bit as well, because it feels like it's been so refreshing watching the three of you causing so much chaos on TV for the last few months in particular. And I mean, you know, you guys have been friends for years, but when the idea of putting three of you together, was that just the green light in everyone's eyes going, oh my God, yes? Did one of you suggest it? I mean, it seems like it's just the perfect fit in so many ways, especially for character work.
I don't remember exactly how it got brought up. I know that I think I was just kind of told, because I was obviously the last member to join. So I don't know how they, you know, particularly the story of how they got together. But I knew that I was the last member to join. But the amount of times that people have fantasy booked us as either a team or against each other, myself and Rhea, or myself and Tony, over the course of years, just because we all are the alternative girls, like for most people, they see it and it fits. That once it came together, there was a moment where I was like, well, I hope this does fit, and it doesn't just aesthetically fit, but like personality wise, and it absolutely just I love those girls so much. And we all feed off of each other in different, like backstage and out there. Like, we all feed off of different, like, personality qualities of each other. And I will say that spending time with Rhea has made Tony and I a lot more vocal. in the best way, where we're, like, confident. We don't take crap from no one. Like, she's helped us a lot with that. Tony is just out of her mind. I love her so much, but she is out of her mind in the best way. Her and I have the sense of humor of a 12-year-old boy, and it is a mess. It is a mess. Anytime we go to film something, I'm pretty sure our film crews hate us by the end of it because we can't get through it because we're making too many stupid jokes. But it has been an absolute honor, and I honestly, I have not had this much fun in wrestling in a very long time since I've joined them. So it's been a blast.
Well, that's so good to hear, because I feel there's so much elements to wrestling. And as you touched on earlier, so many different kinds. But from your point of view, not only have you got to focus on kind of, you know, the moves and the skill set and the ability to wrestle, but it's everything else that goes with it. It's like,
yeah,
you know, the aesthetics, the interacting with the crowd, that crossover, music. I mean, there's so much stuff to think about. So when something clicks like that with people you generally get along with behind the scenes, it becomes apparent on TV. And I think, would you say that situations like that just is a giant win for everyone?
Yeah, 100%. I was very nervous in the beginning about being in another three-person group because I did that before. And, you know, I made lifelong friends. I adore those women so much. And I didn't know if I was going to have the same experience. And I had kind of come to realize that both of those groups came to me exactly when I needed them. Like with Liv and Sarah, it was one of those things where they came to me when I needed somebody else to get thrown into the deep end all at the same time. So that I could, like, we all felt all the same things. We're all freaking out because we were all super new and super scared. And then with Rhea and Tony right now, they came into my life at the perfect time where I really wanted to have fun in wrestling again. I wanted to have fun with my job. I wanted to laugh when I came to the back, and the amount of times that I can't keep a straight face with Rhea on the outside in the ring is unbelievable. That she breaks me weekly. Cause she's hysterical when she's on the outside. We have way too much fun. But they both came at a perfect time. And I think that I'm very lucky to have been surrounded by the women that I've been over my career.
Amazing. That's so nice to hear. As we start to wind down on this conversation a little bit, there's a few other things I'd like to bring up. And we talked about Download Festival a little while ago, and you had a smile on your face, but even though you got very badly injured wrestling there, which I can't imagine that was too fun. But, you know, talking about the crossover between wrestling and music, like, that must have been a crazy experience. And really, maybe a weird place to wrestle in front of so many people at a huge rock metal festival like that. I mean, how was that for you? And I'm surprised wrestling and festivals aren't more of a thing together. I mean, is that something you as a wrestler, you would encourage festivals to maybe do?
Yes, 100%. I would absolutely love that, because particularly with like metal and punk and rock and like rock crowds, they just want to have fun. They just want to you don't have to I feel like a lot of wrestling crowds nowadays, like, you have to work for their approval. Like, you have to work for them to react. You have to work with music fans. You don't have to work that. Like, they're going to lose their mind over nothing, because that's what they came there for. They didn't work to sit back and be like, impress me. They came there to have the time of their life and to be, and especially with wrestling, with the crowd interaction, like, in the same way that you get that crowd interaction, you know, when you go to a concert, like, they're so excited about it, especially, like, you know, that in both aspects too. We feed off of our audience, like the musicians and wrestling. We feed off of our audience. They're just as big of a part of the show as we are. I think that being able to experience that, because I've done Download Festival. I did. Oh God, my memory is terrible. It's a festival down in Florida. Fest. That's what it's called. Fest. There's a festival down in Florida. And I wrestled for them as well. Like some of the best fans I've ever wrestled in front of, because you just don't have to even try, because they're, it's just so easy. And I would love that. And I would love, even if it's a combination and there's just wrestling fans there, to be around music fans and be like, oh, I don't have to kind of be, I'm not going to use the colorful language on your show, but I'm not going to be a jerk. I'm not going to be a jerk and wait for them to do something crazy dangerous to give a golf clap. You know what I mean?
Mm.
That's not what we're here for. That's not what any of us want.
Where would you say the weirdest place you've wrestled is? Because you're someone who has traveled the world in different territories, different industries. There must be somewhere weird where you thought, this is a venue.
100 different weird ones. 100 different weird ones. I've wrestled at the Gathering of the Juggalos before, several times. On the indies. On the indies. Yes, I did. A few times.
Oh, wow.
Few times. Wild. Wild experience. Don't recommend wrestling at 2:30 in the morning. My tag partner was asleep by the time our music hit. It was ridiculous. Covered in Faygo the whole nine yards.
I wish we had opened with this. I wish we had opened. We could have talked about this for the old time. Yeah, sorry.
Yes, so that was a thing. But the weirdest place I would say I wrestled was way back in the day. I did an indie. It was in the backyard of a strip club called the Rustic Frog.
Rustic Frog.
It was the backyard of a strip club. Rustic Frog. There's nothing sexy about that. Let's be honest.
I was just about to say, like nothing makes you go, oh, I'm going down the Rustic Frog.
Yeah.
Like, unless it's literally called that so people's wives don't get mad and they think it's just a normal pub.
Yeah. Yeah. It was in Northern Indiana. Or in Southern Indiana. There's, you know, at this point, you never know. One of my only death matches that I did. I did a death match in the backyard of a strip club called the Rustic Frog.
Wow.
Yes,
that is nuts.
Up there. Number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. I think you win now. Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. I think you've won some good combinations there. Wow. The Juggalos though. That's blown my mind.
Oh, yeah. It was. Yeah.
The Gathering, yeah. Oh, I'd love to go. It looked meant. Is it? Is it something you do? You recommend it to people, or is it something you?
It depends on. I don't want to not recommend it, but I also don't necessarily like. I think nowadays it's better because for a while it was in this field in the middle of nowhere where there wasn't like people died there. Too many people died. They had to move it because too many people died. So, which is terrible. Since they've regulated it a little bit more, to avoid that, unfortunately, from happening, it was a wild experience. That, like, you know,
wow.
Everybody's very nice there. I'll give you that. Like, everybody's very nice.
Did you get to meet the Insane Clown Posse?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Huge wrestling fans.
I know that. Yeah.
I
just didn't know if they'd be about, like, I thought, like, at something like that, surely they're like Jesus turning up at the Gathering, surely. Like, when they turn up, Violent J and Shaggy. How do I know the names?
He loves the ICP, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take my top off. Full Insane Clown Posse back piece. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's mad. Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. I don't think I've ever met anybody else who's done the Gathering. Have I? Oh, I met Tila Tequila once, but we won't talk about that. Yeah, let's move on.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's move on.
But no, Ruby, we super appreciate you taking the time to do this. This has been absolutely phenomenal. We've wanted you on this podcast for so long. So thank you so much. But
thank you for having me, guys.
Before we let you go, obviously, you know, Wembley Stadium, all in this week. Very, very insane show. Soraya and Tony are going to be fighting it out with two other people for the title. But before I hand you over to Sean for the rest of this bit of the question, have you heard of the band The Kaiser Chiefs? Right. Oh, they're very, very big over here.
Okay.
Very big. Oh, they were, yeah, they were very big over here late, early 2000s-ish, 2010s. Okay. And they have a song called Ruby. You must have heard the song. When it goes, Ruby, 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 Ruby!
Yes, 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 yes. Because every time I go to the UK, they sing that to me. Yeah,
of course.
Every single time I go to the UK. That makes sense. I have heard the song, didn't know the band that sang it. But yes, yes, I know exactly what that is. Okay.
If you decide to get into the ring at any point, you know, to help your girls out, Sean's come up with a move idea that he thinks would be absolutely brilliant for the Wembley okay. crowd.
Right, so you get somebody in some sort of arm bar, leg bar, something like that, and then you shout gotcha. Your own name, right? So you do, you go, Ruby, 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 Ruby! And then when you give them a crank, they get to go,
yeah.
like in the song. So
I love that. That's perfect. Ah, I love it. I love it. It's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So, perfect. Yeah, I don't know if you can work that in, but there you go.
Yeah, I might be able to squeeze that in a little bit.
If you do, just give a wink for us. Yeah. Just for us. If not, no one
I'll
else.
Just do it. I'll just do it to I'll just do it to like Bryce or somebody. You know, after the match, after everything's gone dark.
Brilliant. But yes, thank you very much for this. It's been absolutely brilliant. Good luck with everything. Good luck at Wembley.
Thank you.
I can't even get over there's a wrestling event at Wembley Stadium. Like it's class. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And yeah, can't wait. So yeah, good luck with it all. Thank you very much for this. And yeah.
Oh, of course.
See you in the future, hopefully.
Hell yeah. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yes, woo! That was the mighty, mighty Ruby Soho, who we had an absolutely great time with. I'm not sure she's done as many interviews talking about punk rock as much as she did on this one. And it was a fantastic, fantastic chat. And it's wonderful to see how excited wrestlers get over meeting people in bands. And people in bands love wrestlers that same way. It's a very, very strange, weird symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But I love any crossover that is possible between music and wrestling. And honestly, Ruby has been someone that I have wanted on this podcast in forever. So I'm so glad we could finally get this done. A massive thanks again to her for taking the time and everyone in AEW for sorting this out. So excited about All in Wembley on Sunday. Bump card looks absolutely insane. And I'm sure Ruby's going to get involved somehow in that fatal four-way match, and hopefully she takes our idea and uses it. Maybe that's a big move from going forward, and we've created that right here. We've created moments right now.
Well, yeah, if it is, we're going to need to see £42 every time she uses it, so that would be fantastic to speak to someone who does something that you really enjoy is lots of fun. And just watching, hearing and seeing her face light up talking about punk rock was awesome as well. So Fantastic. Thank you very much, Ruby. We had a great, great time. If I sound like I might be slightly underwater, it's because this week I found out I have got something brand new. It's called Coronavirus 2019. So yeah, I've been mainly, yeah, this week's output has mainly been sweat. So that's fun. Yeah. I've just eaten toast for the first time. Well, half a slice of toast for the first time in 2 days. So yeah, here we are. Open to God, I'm better and I can work something out to go to AEW on Sunday. But obviously I've got a test negative first. So, whoa, yay, perfect timing, illness.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed, you know, it sorts itself out for you, but yeah.
Bit of good news, though. Did I have a bit of good news this week?
Ooh, what was that?
The Blackouts, my band, my former band and now current band.
Who also, we didn't bring this up, but should probably mention it very quickly, is... fan base was called something that Ruby was also involved with.
Yes, we called our fan base the Riot Squad. And then when she used to be in the Federation, she was in a group called Riot Squad. And I was like, oh, where did you get that idea from? And I thought to myself, oh, it's the police in it, the same place we nicked that idea from. So, yes, that was fun. But yeah, as I said, the Blackout has sold out our Cardiff Great Hall show. Unbelievable.
Woo!
Thank you very much for everybody who's bought a ticket. If you were considering buying a ticket, it's too fucking late. That's your fault. Nobody else's, not mine, not any of my bands. That's your fault. You should have done it sooner. So if I was you, I'd, if you are Welsh or from near Wales and you were thinking of coming to Cardiff show, you better buy some tickets to Birmingham ASAP. Soon as you possibly can, please. Get them down you. For God's sake, please.
February 2024, the Blackouts UK tour. Tickets are on sale now. Go and check them out. And I'm sure it'd be party rocking, not in the USA, because it's a UK tour, obviously. But if you're checking out this podcast for the first time, maybe you're just a Ruby fanatic, maybe you're a wrestling fanatic. We've got a bunch of other wrestlers episodes you could go and check out, featuring Kip Sabian from AEW just a couple of months ago. Our good friend Tegan Knox / Nixon Newell, wherever you want to call her. And we've got loads of other episodes with people like Mark Andrews, Adam Cole's being on here for a little bit, Andy Williams, aka the Butcher of Every Time I Die. You know, we've got loads. Just go and check out the previous episodes. There's a whole list, almost 5 years worth of conversations. Click subscribe wherever you're listening, and then you hopefully get notifications about new ones and all that kind of stuff. But you can also follow us at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram. I'm hopefully going to be at All In this weekend. So if you see me, come and give me a sapnin and all that jazz. Let me know what kind of stuff I should get, because I'm going to go and take loads of photos and videos, so it's worth following the account as well. And please go and support us via our Patreon page at patreon.com/sapnin. There's loads of bonus content over there as well. We just uploaded an interview with 4 Years Strong from Slam Dunk Festival earlier on in the summer, which is a great laugh, and there's loads of other stuff you can check out. And a community of people we love very, very much. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we thank. But as always, Sean is going to give a mahoosive shout-out to the elite members of our Sapnin Patreon podcast elite members, are the people at the top tiers.
I just realized that we've done this for 240 episodes now, and you have once correctly pronounced massive. So I wonder how many people think that you don't think the word massive is pronounced massive and is actually mahoosive.
It is, isn't it? What I don't understand. What was the other word you said? I don't know.
It's not my first language. Welsh is. No, it's not. Anyway, thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Scarlett Charlton, Tony Michael, Dilly Grimwood, Kelly Owen, Natasha Morris, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Alexandra Pemblington, Kat Besant, Molly Malloy and James Powerbank, Nathan White, Jenny Robinson, One Sock Cutter, He Cuts Socks, Two Sock Cutters, They Cut Socks, Three Socks Cutters, They Cut Socks. What? Thank you very much. Murray Grimwood, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Stephen Aston, Carla Robson, Kate Paddock, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Danny Eaton, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Jason Oredia, John and Emma, Emma Evans-Roberts, Craig Harris, Evan, Sean Fines, Emily Perry, Vicky, Kalila Keane, Ollie Amesbury, Adam King of the Goss Parcel, Josh, what did the shipmates find in the captain's log? Find in the toilet, the captain's log. Crisp, fuck. Even me reading it wrong. Yeah, fuck from the beginning. Anyway, thank you very much, Joe Janoway, Kyle David Smith, and last but no means least, Connor Lewins and family. Thank you very much to those patrons. And as Morgan mentioned, everybody in the description. If you've ever considered becoming part of the Patreon, please do. If you have been part of the Patreon, thank you very much. It genuinely means the world to both me and Morgan.
I can agree. As Morgan, I can agree 100%. So thank you to anyone who's ever given a damn about this episode. You know, we're very close to episode 250, which is mad to think about. So make sure you're subscribing wherever you listen to this podcast. Thank you to all the Patreons. Thank you to anyone who just clicked this on. And thanks again to AEW. We'll be back next week and every Friday with very special guests, as long as Sean is well. And until then, enjoy yourself, play the music loud, and just go mad on the wrestling.
Yes, tidy. I gotta go. I feel like fucking shit.
Submit!
Not like I need a shit, just like shit. Like my body does. Ugh.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.